This is Plus Money Golf on the Patriot Sports Network. A golf betting podcast that's
better than most.
What he said.
How about him? That is better than most. Better than most.
And now, here are your hosts, Adam, Smitty, and Eric.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Plus Money Golf on the Fantasy Sports Corp Network, where all we do is win, win, win. We're without Eric tonight, so bear with us because he's the host with the most. Last season, we closed out three wins in a row for me, two wins for Smitty in a row. Scotty's learned to putt. Been a great season so far. Lots of new winners, lots of old winners. Scotty Scheffler's the man of the hour. Wyndham Clark's trying, but I don't know if he's got a Scotty complex or what. So what do you think, Smitty?
Yeah, so far, Scotty's kind of picking up where he left off and then some, right? Like he's just now he's figured out the short game, and the amount of putts that he's sinking right now is astronomical compared to what he did last year, right? Everybody was on him last year about, oh man, he can't putt, but he's still finishing in the top five every single week or winning, right?
Right.
And then now this year, all of a sudden, he's more consistent with the putter, and it's just like, holy shit, here he comes.
And
it's this early in the year too. So this is territory that guys don't want to deal with right now that are on tour and they're seeing this.
It's familiar. I mean, this is just like the year he won four in a row, wins the Masters. And then fortunately that year, he kind of fell off towards the end of the season, but came back strong. And that was mostly putting. Seems he got the putter figured out. If he took a suggestion, the week before Rory had said, maybe he needs to switch to a mallet putter. And then the next week he comes out with it, didn't putt great. Then he goes to a longer putter, and all of a sudden it's like, open the floodgates. I mean, the guy's already one of the best ball strikers on the tour. And with Kevin Kisner and Smiley Kaufman doing the play-by-play, it's gold. They need to pay those guys whatever it takes to keep them, because it's awesome to watch them and their insight. Smiley being a buddy of his, a lot of the players, and Kiz still playing some, if he's injured or what, but he's killing it in the booth. And I think he even said, you know, like, the dude doesn't miss a shot. It's just like, once he figures out how to putt, and then 2 weeks later, it's like he never misses a putt. So
yeah, it's been really nice. I don't know if the PGA Tour is trying to take some advice from other sports and getting these former players more recently, and like guys that are maybe even still playing a little bit to come on and start doing commentary, because that's been gold. And, you know, I wasn't sure how Kiz was going to be, just because when I watch him on TV and stuff, I was like, well, what kind of personality does this guy have? I don't really know if he's dry or what. He surprised me a lot, just because from watching him, he doesn't seem to be the silly, the funny guy, the clever guy, coming out with, you know, really good, just one-liners. So it's been a breath of fresh air for sure. I like it.
It's better. I mean, obviously you have like Trevor Immelman and Nance, and those guys are very analytical. And then you get, I think that Kisner and Smiley relate to more of their audience these days. I wouldn't even mind seeing Max Homa in the booth with those two, because that's at Sawgrass at the Phoenix Open. That was some of the best TV I've seen golf coverage, like personalities talking and giving shit to the players. And I don't know if they were having drinks or what they were doing, but it was awesome. Like everybody, even the other players and like the LPGA players and that were commenting like on Twitter and Instagram, like they need to get these guys on every week.
Yeah, it seems like to me, the average golf fan wants to hear guys like that, right? Like, and the old heads, now mind you, there's some things within the history of golf that they're really good at, and they, you know, we need to have them on and stuff talking, but like some of those older guys kind of maybe need to be put to bed a little bit when it comes to the play-by-play, because it's just dry, and it's golf isn't like that anymore. The players aren't like that anymore.
No, I think I saw where Roger Maltby was, the players was his last tournament on the field or on the course walking. So, you know, Bones was good when he was on there, but he's, you know, on JT's bag. So they're searching, and Smiley's not doing anything. So you might as well, because he's great and he's friends with him. He's very sharp. So I think he fills the booth, but now you're going to have Trevor Immelman filling in, starting, I think, at Augusta's his first event, where he's going to be trending to replace Jim Nance. So that should be good too. He's pretty good. He's just really analytical. He doesn't give much comedy, where Kiz knows if he says something about some guy's shot, they're not going to get pissed at him, because he's just one of the guys.
Right. And that's that relationship thing, to where it's like, he knows what he can say. He can needle some guys on TV, and knowing that, oh, they're going to take this way and it's going to be fine, but it's going to help with viewership and people staying in tune and interested in it. So I like where that's headed, and I hope it continues. And like you said, bringing guys who are actually playing maybe in the tournament when they're when they missed a cut, or they're just not out on the course yet.
Yeah.
Some of those guys' routines allow them to have plenty of time before and afterwards to where they can come on and talk about it. So
yeah, they did that at Phoenix, where they had Spieth played early, and then he sat in the cart with Smiley at 16. And then
I love that.
Maybe Ricky did one day or something, but yeah, I thought that was great. Like, just have a player sit there and like talk, because who's going to give you better insight of the course than a guy who's just been out there?
That's what I'm saying. I like that a lot. And I think the game of golf like allows you to be able to do stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to see LeBron on the bench like come over and start doing commentary, but in golf, it's different. You know, they do some of that in tennis. They do some of it in NASCAR. They do some in supercross, motocross. So, I mean, it's good stuff, I think.
It is. I agree. You know, and like, they try to incorporate in other sports, I think, but it's so much better, I think, suited for the game of golf, just because, like we said, like the amount of time that they have after or even before rounds, because rounds are so long and they're put out in waves sometimes, you know?
And obviously they're trying to get people to watch, like the younger crowd, like that's what they want to see. Like the Bob Does Sports guy, the good guys, all that, you know, the primo golf guys, what they're doing with the younger crowd, because Liv's certainly not doing anything. I saw a couple of snapshots of the last two Liv events, and at one point there was 5,000 people watching one event, and I think at the peak there was 10,000 watching on their online. And their peak was when they were showing Anthony Kim, because obviously everybody's, you know,
intrigued by that. Yeah.
And I mean, we could talk about that, but first event, obviously a little rusty. I mean, but then he comes out with that final round, shoots 65, beats a lot of guys. And then the next week does pretty well, missed a cut in an Asian tour event last week or the week before. But he's showing signs. I mean, the guy hasn't played a competitive round with, you know, multiple players in 12 years.
You know, it's funny. It's funny that all this is happening, right? Because you pretty much called it on the show multiple times that this guy can still play at a very competitive high level. And don't be surprised if he ends up back playing somewhere. And then all of a sudden, bam, here he is in 2024. So I got to give you a little props there for calling that out, man, because
I think he's going to do well. I think he's just, you know, he's going to figure it out. And once he realizes, like, hey, there's not new guys coming on here that I got to beat, I just got to beat the same guys, it's, you know, it's going to be easier for him. And once he works through some of the kinks and the swing stuff and just getting more comfortable in competition again, it could be lights out for some of those guys. Because, I mean, he's not scared of Brooks. He's not scared of, you know, Sergio or DJ. I mean, he was playing against Tiger and Phil and VJ at their prime.
Well, and his current demeanor doesn't allow him to really feel intimidation or anything like that. So
just play practice around in like basketball shorts and t-shirts. Like, you know, he's got a $2,800 pair of golf shoes on, but he's wearing a $12 Barstool t-shirt and a, you know, $20 pair of Nike shorts.
Whatever works for you.
The sickest thing I saw though was the logo that he's rocking on his hats, and you can't find him anywhere. Cause it's like, man, those hats are sick. And it's like, because he's playing as a wild card, so it's a card, and then the top it has an ace, and the bottom right has a king. So like AK, good play on the letters there, but it's a slick hat. And I was like, man, where do you get those? And I searched the internet, couldn't find them. Not a live guy, but just to go watch that guy play again, I'd probably, you know, maybe go to a live event.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you where. To be honest with you, I couldn't tell you where the next live event would be. Even
I couldn't either.
Yeah, it's That's so far down on my list of
things. I think they have one next week, the week before the Masters, but I might be wrong. Because, I mean, now we're getting close. It's 2 weeks out. You can look at the field this week. It's pretty strong. Next week will be a good, strong field, too, with being Valero, Texas, and San Antonio, where they make the course pretty close to Augusta. From what I heard, I was in Oklahoma last week, saw a couple people, met a couple people from Georgia, and said that it was really dry down there. So Augusta could be a whole different animal than we've got the last few years where we've had rain. If it's dry, it's going to be firm, fast. If they can control the firmness. I mean, if the fairways are hard, we could see the highest score we've seen there in years. Because we've really gotten wet conditions the last 2 or 3 years. They haven't ever seen like Augusta with fire, I don't think, in quite a while. Because we played winter, then COVID year, we played in October. So we haven't seen much. All I've seen lately of Augusta is just course changes they've done. So could be.
I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit of adversity out there. I mean, it's been, like you said, no, you just stated right. Like
it's dry.
Yeah. I'd be all for a little bit of adversity and like having guys struggle a little bit and having them have to like take risks or be a little bit more cautious with certain things. And, you know, it makes it to watch it a lot more entertaining, but from the betting side of things, I like to be able to predict some things a little bit.
Yeah. You don't want to see complete chaos where guys are putting off the green or, you know,
Sure.
Which when it's been soft, like the last few years where they've had to sub air to try to get it fast. If it's dry and fat, I mean, I would almost give, you know, Tiger a huge advantage because there's probably maybe 6 or 7 guys in the field that have seen it like that. And they're all going to be older guys. So,
All guys who have seen it in every possible way, right?
If
that have played it multiple different types of way, I guess.
If he can finish, I mean, Tiger is in the field. It showed him this week as being a listed contestant, along with Ricky Fowler was listed this week too.
Big question mark that you just said, if Tiger can finish a tournament. And I don't know that I have any faith in that. I love the guy. I wish he could be good, but I think those are past, and I don't think I'll ever be betting on Tiger again unless it's to miss a cut.
If it's dry, maybe, I mean, where he's not having to slog through wet grass and
maybe
I think that, and he needs to stop playing 18 practice rounds before, like making trips down there 2, 3, 4 weeks before. It's not good when you can't walk.
No, it's not advantageous for you. You got to save your legs at some point.
But if you get to a situation where it looks like it's going to be over par or near par, maybe he's got a shot because no one controls their ball like that guy does around there.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times have we seen older guy? Like, I would even say if it's dry, give Freddie a chance because he still gets it out there 300 yards. And
well, didn't he play really well last year overall? Yeah.
So he was in the top 5 till the last round, I think.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, that would be
a scenario would be Phil contends. I mean, we need some of the live guys to not contend. So they drop out, but
yeah, but unfortunately
our past champions,
unfortunately, Phil's probably on that short list, right?
Yeah. If it's dry, for sure.
Yeah.
P Reed, Dustin, Koepka. I don't know. It's just been hit or miss. I've been seeing the live and he like plays 2 rounds good and then he shits the bed and then he's out of it. So, it would be interesting.
Yeah.
So this week we got Houston, the Texas Children's Houston Open.
It's awesome.
It's at Memorial Park Golf Club, which was rebuilt by the Astros Golf Foundation, which is a pretty cool thing. It's like one of the top, golf course, public golf courses in the country, built in 1963. Tom Doak just did a redo there. 60,000 rounds per a year visited. It's what it says. That's crazy. It's like good. Very innovative. They're like a low water system. So yeah, it's a pretty cool setup. Obviously they're trying to do stuff that's new and outside the box. So
Yeah, for sure. I mean, doing the,
it's a good course.
Yeah. Doing the redesign, in what, 2019.
Yeah.
They having it ready for the 2020. So, par 70, 7,400 yards.
It's a big course.
Yeah, for sure. And it's kind of, what is it? So it's the fourth longest course on tour. So, that's pretty much puts all the big bombers into contention here. Cause, you're looking at a course that allows it. Right. So, I mean,
it looks wide. There's not a lot of trees.
Only four water holes.
Yeah.
Where water comes in to be a danger there. It does rank as one of the toughest courses on tour, which is kind of crazy, I guess. But
when it's a dope course, those are typically harder.
I would agree, and I think that a lot of it has to do with the 10th. Length making it the toughest. But then it's, you know, you're talking 10th largest greens, so still rather large greens, I guess, and. Where they have it, they have the stimp at 12 and a half, I think it is. Let me see. Yeah, 12 and a half is what they're reading it as. So, I mean, it's going to be fast, but it's not going to be like anything out of the ordinary, you know?
It shows that these old courses stay in the test of time. I mean, to be that hard, but I see some of the pictures, like the par threes have like high faced bunkering. So tuck the pins. Now all of a sudden it's a sucker pin.
Fewest bunkers.
Yeah.
Fewest bunkers on the tour this year, which is kind of crazy. Again, it feeds into, okay, well, if it says it's saying it's the sixth hardest, are they really factoring in the yardage that much? But also it's supposed, I mean, typically rather windy here.
Yeah. It looked like it's going to be warm all week and dry, but maybe some gusts up to 25, a few days. I mean, hole one out of the gates, like a 522 par four. I mean,
yeah,
you're still... Yeah. For these guys, you got 300, you know, 200 yards in on a par four. That could be why the greens are so big too, with just to hold longer irons for average golfers.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, it is a public facility, so.
Right. So, I mean, you got, it is. So, I mean, you got ryegrass fairways and POA and trivialis greens.
Yeah.
So.
They'll be grainy for the afternoon groups.
So what does that mean then for the afternoon groups in your opinion then?
It'll be more difficult because the greens will get grainy. You know, if it's 80 degrees, they're going to be growing. So, you know, I don't know if that hybrid type POA is less grainy, but you're still going to get some grain, which tends to mess with these guys. We don't usually see that unless we're coming off the West Coast swing. So
are we looking at first round leader guys being those early morning groups?
Probably. Yeah. Anybody that's early, late, or even the guys that play mid.
Okay.
But you know, they don't have the tee times out yet. So.
Right. Interesting. I always look at like the correlated courses. They have, let's see, they have Quail Hollow on there. They have an Augusta National on there.
That's good.
TPC Scottsdale, Riviera, Southern Hills, Bay Hill. I mean, a lot of very familiar courses that people know, right? So if it's going to play similar to some of those courses, then I think we're in for a really great weekend of golf. That's for sure.
And Scotty's won most of those events.
I know. That was going to be my next comment, actually. But
if you name those courses, though, I mean, you look at guys that play at those, like Scheffler, Wyndham Clark, the Gala, Finau, they've all played pretty good at those courses you named. But this year we've seen these guys that come off the web, like Knapp and Phillips, that are just machines. I mean, they have super repeatable swings. They don't swing hard. They're not playing with blades. They're playing with, like, you know, almost a game improvement iron. They're just playing their game. They don't give a shit. And Phillips is like my new guy. Like he said, you know, there was a clip of him like at various press conferences. He's like, he doesn't give a shit who's playing. He doesn't care. He's just trying to make some, he's like Boo Weekly, you know, like he's just out there trying to make some money to go hunting and fishing.
For real. Aren't we all? Man?
Yeah.
Aren't we all?
He's pretty chill, but yeah, he's a killer. I mean, last week he just came out a little short, but I mean, he made more money last week than he'd made like his previous years on the web or something like that.
Well, yeah, like you got, you think about guys like that, man, you place inside the top 10 of a tournament on the PGA Tour. I mean, it's literally life changing for you. And then all of a sudden you probably, you do that. And then all of a sudden you pick up, you pick up a win, but then all of a sudden then money wise, right? All of a sudden you pick up endorsement deals and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's, that gets very lucrative very quickly. And we found that out, really, you know, in a big way last year when what's his face, the amateur
that came out. Nick Dunlap,
yeah, you know, so it's that stuff is real,
and he's already won this year. I mean,
yeah,
came out on fire. And he's, you know, so I was talking with one of my buddies from Oklahoma, his son's, you know, an elite player, and they had played some events when Nick Dunlap was in high school, like. He was at the events or whatever and said he's just like a super nice kid, like down to earth. But yeah, these young kids that are coming out of college just don't give a shit and they're really good. I mean, it's just hard to believe, you know, like some of these guys just don't understand. Like college golfers are way better now. Web guys are way better. Mini tour guys are good. It's just,
you can't. I mean, all the way down from beginners all the way up, like even where younger kids start now, they're way better than, you know, young kids, 10, 15, 20 years ago. And I think there's something to be said too, when you were talking about how, you know, guys just go out and same swing every single time, right? Like it's not necessarily about the fundamentals anymore. It's about, can you continue to duplicate this same swing over and over again to where you know exactly what's going to happen every time you swing the stick. So that's interesting to kind of see and hear and see like the amount of confidence that these young kids have coming onto the tour is outrageous. They don't get starstruck at all anymore because they've been under the lights their whole life.
Yeah. And every 16 to 18 year old kid in high school, that's a top tier player, all hit at 330, 340. I mean, it's stupid. And once they figure out the short game, it's just, I mean, you can't stop them because the kids are fearless. Like a 19 year old kid has nothing to worry about. They don't have car payments. They don't have a house to pay for. Yep. You know, they don't have wife and kids. They don't have anything to worry about. They just go out there and play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just going to keep getting better and better. And with the PGA Tour U through the NCAA, I mean, we're going to see more and more of these Nick Dunlaps and come out here and win pretty easy.
Yeah, that's exciting.
It's, well, it's good for golf.
It is. It's great for golf. Should we get into some of these picks here?
Yeah. It's some pretty strong field this week. I didn't see the Monday qualifier, but some of the names I saw in the top, you know, like bottom of the top 20 sort of look like Monday qualifier guys from the web.
Yeah. You know, as far as the field itself, I would say that the top is pretty solid. You know, the top tier is pretty good. I like that, but I mean, once you get past those top, like 20 five. There and the odds or so, it's just,
once guys, you go like, seven, you know, deep, it's like 3,500, you know,
right.
It's like the, okay, well, these six guys, how is Jason Day in there? Except I think maybe he has a place down there, but how is he ranked higher than Keith Mitchell or some of these? It makes no sense. I don't know what it is, history or whatever. Maybe that DraftKings knows something we don't know, I would have never put him ranked above Siwoo or Keith Mitchell or Tom Hoagie.
Yeah. You know, the thing about Jason Day, I guess, when I was looking, he doesn't seem like, for me, it doesn't seem like a guy that can win this week, but it's just, I guess, I mean, he has won in Texas a couple times, hasn't he? I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, so that probably ups his odds a little bit. Yeah. Cause I think he won, was it last year's TPC Craig Ranch, Byron Nelson, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay, so I mean, I guess that probably puts him up there again, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, he has a combination that I think kind of fits to how this tournament's going to be. I mean, with his power, and then his approach off to the greens and everything. I guess probably those are going to be two big factors this year. Like this weekend is going to be your length. If you can power it through and get to places you need to on the course, and then be able to approach the greens and have have good putts, right? You think you don't want to be in a spot on this course. I feel like, all right, they're huge greens, but you're just on the edge of them.
Right. Yeah.
So you need a guy that can bomb it a little bit and then be able to get inside 10 feet for birdies. So I think That's probably why Jason Day sits there towards the top. But again, like when you're talking about Keith Mitchell and like Alex Noren and Tom Hoagie being up there towards the top in the odds in the top 10, I mean, it's not great. You have the top, you have some really good guys in the top five ish, but then after that,
that's even good like for betting.
Right. Even though Tony Finau, right? Like he's the same
defending champion.
One. Right. But he's been playing like shit.
Yeah.
So that's, it's hard.
I guess that Scotty's playing just to stay sharp. Cause it seems like when he takes a week off, like he's almost, you know, like he's set back, you know, it takes him almost 2 weeks to catch back up. Maybe just trying to like get through as many rounds as he can before Augusta, just to keep the putter going. And he's a confidence guy. If he clicks off a win this week, goes in next week and gets a top two or three, I mean, he's going to be favored by a mile to win.
Yeah, Olympics. I think he's really riding the wave right now, though, too. I mean, he knows he's hot, and granted, he doesn't need the money per se, but I mean, he's a competitor, and he's like, I'm hot. Let's keep going. Let's break some records here and keep moving.
And I think I'd heard after the players was the first tournament for the reset of the Ryder Cup points too. So In case he runs into a slump end of the year, first year next year, he's got some cushion. You know, if you get 4, 5, 6 wins while you're hot.
And maybe he's going after Tony Finau's record of 16 under.
Yeah. I mean, right now he's at 450 plus 450 for odds for the Masters, and the nearest person's 1,000 at Rory.
Plus 450 for the Masters is absolutely insane.
You could have got him at 1,200 3 weeks ago, or even 650. I think I told Eric to take him at 650 like a week ago before he won. So yeah,
we could get off on a big tangent there talking to that. That's just nuts how the odds have just gotten crazy. Yeah. So,
but I mean, it could definitely change in the next week before the Masters.
Yeah. If he doesn't win this weekend and he doesn't place like super high the next two weekends, then I mean, then his odds will be a little bit better, but you're still not getting 10 to one.
No, I was just making sure. Yeah. There's no elevated event before the Masters. So.
All right. Should we rock into our top 20s here?
Who do you got for 20s?
All right. My top 20s. I have Alex Noren at plus 140. This was hard. I have Keith Mitchell at plus 150. Okay. Two guys that we're talking about, right? Like when there's just not a really deep field, guys like this kind of step up here because of what they can do off the tee and around the greens. Right. I have Billy Horschel at plus 220. Guy that has shown, you know, he can bomb it. And
yeah, he's kind of been hit or miss for me the last month. Seems like he plays good 1 week and then he's gone for a month. And then he plays good and then he's gone.
Yeah, I mean, he's been playing pretty well, I think, overall this year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I kind of was looking at his numbers a little bit, and he's won twice and he's finished runner up before in the state of Texas. And this is an interesting one too, is like over the last 36 rounds that he has, 27th in strokes gained for ball striking and 6th in bogey avoidance.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. And then 21st in scrambling. I feel like he could really do some damage with how he gets off the tee and then you go from there. If you're not bogeying holes and you're short to the, you know, you're shorter than other guys going like approaching the greens,
if
you got shot there. So that's kind of why I put him in there. Let's see. I have Ryan Fox at plus 320. And to round it out, I have Robert McIntyre at plus 360. Ryan Fox.
I'm playing good.
Yeah. Thin field. Again, so I mean, he's a he's a big distance guy. So I was kind of looking at the long hitters and everything. So that was a reason there. And then McIntyre, distance again and scrambling around undulated links courses translates into the Houston Open here at Memorial. So I think that this is something maybe he can pop into a top 20. So I like the +360 and the +320 there for Fox and McIntyre.
Yeah.
I know you're going to have somebody longer odds than that, but it's always like that.
Yeah.
So I kind of
didn't go too bad. I mean, I did a couple of long ones because I thought this is the kind of event where some guy might streak up in there, you know, catch the good side of a draw, no wind.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, I'd forgotten about Aberg. I should have had him on my list. It didn't make my list. I wanted him on there, but I got Patrick Rogers at 260. Just because he's kind of been steady. I mean, top 20 is pretty, she seems like an easy bet. Chandler Phillips at 360, because he's my new favorite guy. Been playing good all year. Chris Goddard's back in the field, got him at 400. Blaine Hale, teammate Chris Goddard, but 6,500 for a top 20. He's been on the web, he's been making a little noise. So, and then, Pearson Cootie at 1200. He's from Texas. He's from that area. So I thought, you know, a little familiar, home cooking, maybe his parents with him. He's been playing pretty well on the web. So why not?
Yeah. I mean, I dove into looking at the guys, like, for whatever reason, man, like this whole Texas thing and golfers, right? Everybody just feels like they need to come out and just ball out in front of people that they know. Right. It doesn't, I feel like it doesn't happen anywhere else.
Yeah. That's what Phillips said. He went to Texas A&M and he's like, a bunch of my buddies are going to be out there this week. He's like, I wouldn't be surprised if some of them didn't get kicked out.
Yeah. So. It's crazy how these guys just, they don't ever want to pump the brakes. They're like, oh yeah, there's a tournament in Texas. Okay. I'll be there. They either live there or they're from there.
Yeah.
Or they went to college there, right? There's a lot of pride in all three of those things.
Yeah. So who do you got for top 10s?
Top 10. Okay, I'll start off with the biggest odds first. I have Billy Horschel at +500. So I stuck with Billy here. We'll see. I mean, I kind of like those numbers I was discussing before.
Yeah.
And then I have Alex Noren at +320. And then we get into a guy who is a Texas resident, Siwoo Kim at +260. And I did go to Tony Finau at +250 for a top 10. Just, hey, you know, some familiar confidence, you know, to where it's like, hey, like I played this course really well and I set the record here, that, you know, so I kind of had to throw him in there. Top 10. Don't feel confident of him winning it this week, but then I have Willie Z at +200, top 10. I feel like that's a really, I felt like that should have been a little bit less than
what was he at?
+200. So
he's been playing good since he came back from the injury.
Yeah.
I mean,
I felt it was going to be more like 150, to be honest with you, for top 10. I like him in this spot, but
yeah, I think he's, I'd have to look. I think he's had a couple top 10s this year. But yeah, he's been pretty solid playing as far as coming back. He's 13th in the FedEx Cup.
Yep.
Let's see results. 6 events, 3 top 25s, 4 cuts, 2 missed cuts, 1 runner up, 2 top 10s.
He's right there, man.
Right there. And I think he might be in the Masters. I'd have to look, but I'm thinking he's on an exemption.
I'm trying to remember. I actually thought I saw that.
He might be on a medical or something. Because I know if you've played in a Ryder Cup, you get in. But yeah, there's so much exemption-wise. But
I know.
And he could still be on a win from the year before. So yeah, for my top 10, I've got Chase Knapp at 450, who's just, the dude looks like a robot. Could put his swings over top of each other, and it's the same swing. And just gets it out there,
which is so important, like we talked about earlier.
And he's got a win already this year. Luke List at 550, who's kind of showed some signs this year. I think he's had a couple top tens. I've seen his name on the boards a few times. He may have even, I think he actually did have a win this year already. I was looking kind of like who's won, who's hot. And I think he did have a win earlier in the year. Nope. Just Knapp. That's what I was thinking of. So yeah, but he's been playing good.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Chandler Phillips at 850. Once again, solid last week. Scott Stallings at 900 seems to always play pretty well in Texas.
I agree. He was on my
short list.
He was on my second tier there for the top 10.
And then I have Chesson Hadley at 1200 because he had to go back down to Webb maybe because he just missed out on that top list last year. So coming back in maybe shows a little signs. I don't know. Went on a hunch. What do you got for your winners this week?
All right. So starting off, I have Siwoo Kim at plus 3,000.
It's crazy.
That he's 30-1?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to me at all for him, I guess. Like, I got another guy who's got ties to Dallas, right?
Yeah.
You know, it just kind of another guy, and also another guy who plays decent, right? Plays pretty well in winds, high wind areas, right? So, like, you know, guys that are closer to home seems, especially in that Texas area, man, they just seem to play well. He's got three top 15 finishes over his last five starts.
It's trending,
which is pretty good. Yeah. Four-time winner on tour. I just feel like he's a guy that might be able to hang with Scotty on Sunday if he's close. It's hard to say that anybody can do that right now, I guess, but yeah. Hey, then I have our boy Thagala. He's at plus 1800. I read something on Twitter that Sahith Thagala is a poor man Scotty Scheffler. So I kind of like that, honestly. I mean, yeah. He's got a little bit of that like Scotty swagger in him per se, but he just hasn't been able to consistently bring it all together. And we've been talking about him forever. And we're just
that's
waiting
Eric's for
him to pull up. Yeah, we're waiting for him to blow up, and I think that he's getting closer and closer.
Yeah.
Then I have Zalatoris at plus 1800. And then you know, Wyndham Clark at plus 1200. He's the only guy that's proven, at least the most anyways,
to hang
with Scotty and be consistent enough to where if Scotty does show that he's human, he can beat him.
Yeah.
And that's why he's sitting at 1200, right? Which is, you know, he's a lot less odds than all these other guys, or greater odds, I should say. And then I did take Scotty at plus 260, but just like with, like I always talk about last year, right? If I'm betting somebody that's under 10-1, like I will put a double unit bet on that. So,
yeah.
I love also because I couldn't bet on Wyndham Clark top 10 just because his numbers suck. I do love Wyndham Clark a top 5 bet at plus 280.
Oh, sure. That's a good bet.
Plus 280, I feel like top 5, that you're getting decent money for that. So I like that.
I mean, if he finishes runner up again, I think those two have kind of distanced themselves this year from mm-hmm. the rest of the field.
I would agree.
Because nobody else has consistently been 1-2, 1-2 besides those guys.
I mean, I think this is the week though that where Wyndham can get Scotty. He's eighth, you know, numbers wise, he's eighth in driving distance, seventh in strokes gained putting, for the field. Like he's a top 30 player around the greens, and he's ranked second. Okay. He's top 30 player around the greens, and he's just ranked high enough where like he's easily the second best player on this tournament. And again, like is pretty close to Scotty in a lot of areas. I mean,
he was half a, you know, a quarter of a ball to the right from being in a playoff with the Players against Scotty. Mm-hmm. You know, if that ball is a quarter of an inch right of where he hit it, it goes in the center of the hole.
Well, and what helps Wyndham Clark this week? What helps him to play well? Maybe the fact that he's finished runner up to Scotty the last 2 weeks, and that's his motivation for this week. He's like, I got to beat this guy.
You just hope he doesn't get second and third so many times that he gets like a Phil complex to where it's like, I can't beat Tiger, so I'm just going to sit back and collect checks.
Yeah, it's true. But I feel like you can't. I mean, Phil's a whole different animal.
Yeah.
But
for my winners this week, I got Clark at 1200, Cashmere Keith Mitchell at 3500. Just feel like he let one slip away last week. And then Chandler Phillips, I had to go back and check to make sure this is right, but it was 11,000. And I don't know if I saw that right. Yep, it is 11,000. I was like, nice. How do you not pick that guy? Plus 11,000?
After last week, that's quite interesting.
And then I went with Thigala at 1,800. And then Chase Knapp at 5,500. I'm big on him and Phillips right now. They seem to be consistently gaining steam against the field. Mm-hmm. And they're not these top tier guys that people talk about all the time. They're just slowly making their way up, you know, clicking people off one at a time. And I like the way they play, you know, real simple swings. They don't give a shit about hitting at 350.
Yeah.
They're not flashy guys. They just do their work.
Yeah. I really hope that I'm not looking too far into the whole, like, guys smashing it off the tee. I just feel like it's one of those courses that is long and you got to be able to smack it, you know, but yeah.
I mean, Cam Champ at 10,000 to one to win. That guy, there's nobody out there longer than that guy. Maybe Aberg. He's probably pretty close. I did see Batia was in there this week. At 7,000.
Yeah, I saw him too.
I just don't know if this course matches up to his game. He played well last week and then kind of shit the bed at the end. But what did he shoot the last round? Like 63 or something? 64? He had a really low round last week, one of the rounds. Let me look. At Valspar, I think it was. Let's see. He finished high up. Billy Horschel was T12 at Valspar, so
I know
Scott that's Stallings T12 at Valspar.
Yeah, Batia was what, 17 there?
Yeah. That's pretty good.
74,
68, 70, 68. But he had it going for a while, I think in round four, and then just kind of dumped it.
I'm sorry. Under. How are you 6'1", 130? What?
He's like a beanpole, dude.
Dude, that is crazy.
Was like the best junior golfer in the entire planet. It bypasses college and turns pro. It was on Callaway staff when he was like 16 years old and just tried to do it through the mini tours. I mean, it's taken this guy 10 years to finally get up there.
Hey, we got, did you finish all of your winners?
Yeah.
Okay. We got some tee times here. Some guys that, we were talking about, Ryan Fox, 731, maybe he goes low.
That's good.
I was looking at, first round leaders and just a random couple, like there was multiple guys that were on Bo Hostler as first round leader.
Texas guy from that area.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting, and he's early. He's at 720. He's like he's the first tee time.
Problem is, he gets, you know, the 320 tee time the second day.
I know, but first round leader, that's all it takes, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's a grinder.
Zalatoris at 753. I don't feel like Zalatoris is a guy who's gonna go that low to start off things. But Scheffler's before 8 o'clock too.
Yeah, 753. Playing with Malnati and. He's playing with Malnati and Willie Z. So
yeah, that's cool.
That's a good pairing. That's probably one of it's got the little play sign on the website. So you'll be able to watch them on your Hulu or your ESPN Plus coverage. That's a good grouping with Malnati.
That is a really good grouping. I'm
coming off of a win. I don't, He seemed like he backed his way into that win last week, so I don't know if he's going to really show out, but he's at plus 12,500 this week.
Wow.
There's a lot of, you know, Kiz is playing this week.
Yeah, I saw that. He's off at like 8-something, right?
Stuart Sink's been playing well all year. There's a lot of good names. I mean, Nick Dunlap's in the field. Oh, there's so many good names. I mean,
one of the best Twitter followers of all time, Michael Kim. I think I read all of his tweets almost every single day. I would love to get him on the show to just talk about stuff. It'd be great. He's just such a great follow.
Did you see where Wyndham Clark said he has never been to Augusta? He wasn't going to go until he could play his way there.
That's outrageous.
He said he's been invited several times and has turned it down.
I mean, I get that though.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense, but it's like, dude, why wouldn't you just go? I mean, I don't know.
He feels like he's got to earn it. I don't know. Like that's probably what it is. Some of those guys have so many mind games that they're playing with.
Which is crazy that it's the first year he's able to go. I mean, but he won the US Open this year, so I guess that would do it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm kind of as we get closer to the Masters here, I'm really getting excited about it, just with the field and the drama and everything. With the LIV guys, you know, complaining, and well, Taylor Gooch is the only one that's complaining about not being able to play. But maybe you should have done more to get your ranking up. I mean, win a major. Yep.
I know exactly. Be better. Right. That's the biggest thing. And like you don't have an argument to complain when it comes down to how you perform. Well, that's not anybody's fault but your own.
Yeah. And to my point, who's the guy? One of the LIV guys qualified for the Masters through playing in the Asian Tour events that they're exempt in. I'd have to look and see. I'll have it for you next week, but
so there are other avenues in which you're saying, right? Like other avenues in which you can get there.
Yeah. And so Rory even talked about it. He said, look, I can't remember who it was. It was a guy who just went not too long ago, but he's like, the guy busted his ass. I saw him in Dubai playing. He's playing in Asia. He's playing in Africa. He's playing in Australia. He's playing events to get into the majors where Taylor Gooch wants to sit back on his couch, play his 12 events and then complain because he's not in the Masters. One of the best clips I saw over the winter was the one where Taylor Gooch was getting interviewed at the LIV event that they won as a team. And he goes, I mean, I've never played in a Ryder Cup or a President's Cup, but I think that these events are pretty close to like the excitement of it. And DJ started laughing and Patrick Reed is like staring at the camera, just like trying not to laugh. And DJ turned around because he was like, this kid has no idea what it's like to be on a Ryder Cup team. There's no idea what it's like. So yeah, it's good stuff.
Yeah. When you're saying stuff like that in front of dudes like that, who have been
legends, Ryder Cup legends.
Who've been everywhere. Yeah. That's kind of funny.
Yeah. It's hilarious, but yeah, it's good stuff. So
for sure.
Awesome. Yeah. It's going to be good to watch this week. And then, we'll be back next week with a new show. Hopefully, have some more closer insight to the Masters as we get closer, and another good event next week. So should be a lot of stars playing next week too.
Yeah. I think this weekend and next weekend are going to really help how things are going to unfold odds wise, come Masters, and see who's going to contend for who's going to be the favorite to win at the Masters. That's going to be interesting. I'm excited for it. I'm glad that we're back doing the show. This is a lot of fun every single year. And I think that, hopefully we get better and better for people that are listening, but
I've got a lot of listeners. We've just had a bit of a break as Smitty's busy all winter long, but you know, once we get closer to Masters time, people get more motivated for golf around here as the
no doubt
snow melts and it warms up and the courses start to open up again. So it makes it more fun for everybody.
No doubt, man.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks for listening to Plus Money Golf, and we'll be back next week. So check us out. We'll be on Instagram. You can follow Smitty on X at @CSmith with an 8 with an F. You can follow me at AC Miller PGA on Instagram, X, Facebook, whatever. We've got a Facebook page, plusmoneygolf.com. You can catch all the information on there. We'll have some updates, and everybody have a good tournament this week. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to Plus Money Golf. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. In the meantime, keep up with the show on Facebook and Instagram at Plus Money Golf and on Twitter at PSR Golf. Until next time.